Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Ring of Honor review with me, pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson. My co-host, Oliver Newman, is currently unavailable. He's travelling across the UK, so it's going to be a solo outing for me, first solo outing as well. So if you're listening to this after it's recorded, Oliver, I hope you enjoy it. And yeah, we'll see how this one goes along. Lots of great news, lots of great content to talk about for this latest episode of the Ring of Honor review. Just want to give a big shout out to everyone, all the great feedback we've had, all the great fans we've got who've been following us on Twitter and on social media. So I think first of all, I'm going to start with our weekly star spotlight, which this week we and Oliver were talking about it off air through text. I'm going to cover the current Ring of Honor booker and longtime star of Ring of Honor who's making his return at Past versus Present, Delirious. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set my clock for 5 minutes on my phone, which I have in front of me here as well as a guide, anyone who's taking scores at home. Also, just to add in that this show is not being recorded for any kind of video screening, just because I don't know whether seeing my face for an hour would really make much of a show. But this video will be available on YouTube. This podcast will be available in video form on YouTube, but it will just be as an audio form and maybe extended as we do normally on YouTube. So we're just going to do it a little bit different this week, just to save on time and save on the issues we may have later on. So with that, I've got my stopwatch and timer set for 5 minutes, starting from now. So, Delirious. What can we say about Delirious? One of the most unique stars in Ring of Honor history. He made his debut all the way back at Reborn Stage 1 against Matt Sydal. Not Mike Sydal, is the brother of Matt Sydal. No, Matt Sydal, who would later go on to WWE as Evan Bourne, who will also be returning at Past versus Present to be with his longtime partner of Generation Next. Not Roderick Strong. This is the first, because I'm doing this on my own for the first time. Who is it he'll be partnering with? One of his partners from Generation Next at the Past versus Present show. So Delirious, him and Delirious had a great match at Reborn Stage 1, and that started a feud between the two which would go on for several years. And Delirious would then from there, along with facing Matt Sydal, he would have some great matches against Bryan Danielson, against Nigel McGuinness. And although those of you who have been following Ring of Honor for a long time will know that Delirious has mainly been used as a comedy character, he actually is a really strong wrestler within the company, very technically sound, which led him to become the head trainer at the Ring of Honor dojo after several years. And actually a lot of the stars who we see coming up through Ring of Honor today were trained by Delirious along with his proteges, including Cheeseburger. And from being part of the roster as well, he had some really strong battles with Roderick Strong as part of the No Remorse Corps at the time. Great matches. I believe they had a match at Respect His Earn 2007, which was on pay-per-view, which was fantastic. He also had great feuds with Austin Aries, Sonjay Dutt and Rhett Titus during his during 2008 and 2010, so the quiet periods in Ring of Honor, which was just before he became, as I mentioned, before I mentioned Delirious and started this 5 minute chat. He became the booker for Ring of Honor. So after the Gabe Sapolsky era of booking, it then became the Adam Pearce era of booking, which didn't last for very long, about 2 years. And from there, Delirious took the book and the pencil. And he's had a very interesting few years. He's actually been the longest booker Ring of Honor have ever had. A lot of people have been critical of his work. I myself am kind of a bit up in the air and up and down with Delirious, in the sense that I feel he's done some great things for Ring of Honor. He brought in the New Japan relationship. He brought in a lot of international relationships, and a lot of the international talent we're seeing today could be down to Delirious's experience over in many continents. But I do agree that some of his booking does lack on certain area, in certain areas, such as his character development and his storyline progression. I feel that it's more about the in-ring product. But from what we've seen during 2014 to 2016, especially, fantastic booking. Had an amazing roster of talent, including AJ Styles, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega at times, Adam Page, Matt Taven, and Jay Lethal. Booked Jay Lethal as one of the strongest champions in Ring of Honor history. So he's really shouldn't be snuffed at. He should be one of these bookers who is actually looked at with a lot of respect and a lot of praise, because Ring of Honor is a very difficult company to book effectively, and a very tiring product to book, as what happened with Gabe Sapolsky, as we've mentioned on a previous Star Spotlight. So Delirious is one of the most unique characters as well in Ring of Honor history, with his garbled speech of and his post-ring antics and post-match antics and his pre-match antics. He's definitely a character within Ring of Honor, very Chikara style to his look and to his style and to his actual presentation as well, which is refreshing for Ring of Honor, which at the time Delirious came in was very straight-laced pre-wrestling. Delirious came along and he brought in something fresh and something different. And yeah, I mean, along with being one of the best, I think he's one of the best characters in Ring of Honor history. He may not have had many achievements in terms of belts or in terms of, you know, highly acclaimed matches. Oh, and my 5 minutes is up. But yeah, Delirious, definitely someone we should all have great respect for. And thank you for still booking Ring of Honor and taking us through, along with Marty Scurll, through 2020. So that was the Ring of Honor Star Spotlight, which is a lot more stressful when you're doing it on your own, as we heard there. So from the Ring of Honor Star Spotlight, I'm going to go straight into the news. A lot of news this week to talk about. A very, very busy week for Ring of Honor. If any of you have been following our social media feeds, you'll see of all the great retweets we've been tweeting. So I'm just going to start off and go through the trusty Ring of Honor website, as well as my trusty Ring of Honor app, and to get through all of the news, which may take me some time, but stay with me. So the main first part of news is we've had several more people announced for the Ring of Honor Pure Tag Title Tournament. And some of those great people include Fred Yehai, former Evolve talent of Catchpoint. Yuji Nagata, former IWGP World Champion over in Japan. Amazed by this news. Didn't ever expect Yuji Nagata to be part of the Ring of Honor title tournament. Amazing. So it's really exciting to see more of the relationship growing between New Japan and Ring of Honor. Along with Yuji Nagata, we've also heard that Josh the Goods Woods will also be joining the tournament of Two Guys, One Tag. Ren Narita, also of New Japan fame, which is fantastic. We've also heard that Dalton Castle will be joining the tournament, former Ring of Honor World Champion, and a member of the tag team with Joe Hendry, who's also part of the Ring of Honor Pure Title Tournament, which is exciting. So we've got several tag teams and several interlocking feuds happening. And also, just announced earlier today, and one I'm really excited to hear about, is Tony Deppen is going to be a member of the Ring of Honor Pure Championship Tournament, taking place in April. So if any of you are fans of Game Changer Wrestling or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Tony Deppen's actually been one of the prominent stars for the for those companies. And from watching him myself, he's a great high-flying wrestler, great technical ability. He's young, he's fresh, he's hungry. And yeah, it's great to see more of these stars coming through and wanting to be part of Ring of Honor. That relationship between the independent scene and the sort of Ring of Honor Sinclair team seems to be really growing at the moment, as well as with the international New Japan scene. So yeah, really, really excited with this news. So so the Pure Title Tournament, I'm sure that Oliver will agree with me, we've said off air, but he's really excited for this one like I am. So that's definitely going to be something to check out when it comes about in April. Along with that, we've also had several participants announced for the Women of Honor Quest for Gold title tournament, the female tournament. So some of these participants include Alex Gracia, Ashley Vox, two women who have not actually seen directly, which will be definitely exciting to see after what we've seen recently in the Women of Honor division. Should be a ton of fun. Gia Scott, who I have heard of, but I can't remember off the top of my head if I have actually watched any of her matches. But definitely, again, really excited for this tournament and some of the women who are coming through the ranks of Ring of Honor and coming through the Women of Honor Quest for Gold tournament. Miranda Elise will also be taking part in the tournament for the Women of Honor title, part of the Quest for Gold weekend. Heather Monroe will also be taking part, and also Lindsay Snow will also be taking part. So a lot of women there who I've not seen directly. I've heard of a couple of them in passing. But yeah, this is really shaping up to be a really great tournament. If any of you listened to the news last week, you'll be able to hear some more of the participants, if you want to go back and check last week what me and Oliver were saying about the participants. So that this tournament's looking like it's going to be great. These two championships, you know, are going to be great assets when they come back to Ring of Honor. And having these two massive tournaments taking place is a ton of fun as well, because it just gets more exposure to the product, more exposure to the independent scene, and to the competitors themselves, rather than it just being self-contained. Open it up and let as many people as possible take part in the tournament. So yeah, that's going to be a ton of fun. It was already mentioned, but I'll just mention it again, that the Havana Pitbulls of Rocky Romero and Ricky Reyes will be taking on Bandido, my favourite wrestler, can't do the point in due to not being recorded, and his tag team partner Ray Harus of Mexa Squad will be battling it out at Past versus Present. Great match, that one. I'm expecting it to be ton of fun. And coming later this week will be our pre-recorded preview for the Past versus Present and 18th anniversary Double Shot weekend, which is going to be really excited for them. So we've got that coming up later this week. Along with that, we also have found out that the new on sale date for the Ring of Honor and New Japan War of the Worlds tour has taken place. So the opportunity to see the stars of Ring of Honor and New Japan will be taking place in the shows themselves will be taking place in May, and the tickets for all four War of the Worlds shows will be going out next Wednesday, so this coming Wednesday on March the 11th at 10 a.m. for Honor Club members, on Friday the March the 13th at 10 a.m. local time for any other public members, so anyone else in the general public. And yeah, it's going to be another great set of shows, or a great few weekend, well, great week rather than a weekend. So there's going to be four shows taking place between May the 6th and May the 10th, taking place in New York, Toronto, Canada, Kalamazoo, Michigan, and the Odeon Expo Center in Villa Park, Illinois. So great stuff. And if any of you across the pond are listening to this podcast, definitely go and book those tickets and watch those shows, because they're going to have all of the Ring of Honor talent and all of the New Japan talent on the shows. And from watching the previous events, they've been a ton of fun. So definitely check those out. And the final main bit of news just to mention is that Flip Gordon is going to challenge for the Ring of Honor World Championship at Supercard of Honor. Huge news, this one. Me and Oliver will talk about this in a heck of a lot more detail in our Supercard of Honor preview, which will be taking place in a few weeks' time, in time for the event. But yeah, after Flip Gordon won the over the top rope battle royal at Free Enterprise, he actually won the right to face the Ring of Honor world champion. So it could be Roosh or it could be Mark Haskins, dependent on who wins at the 18th anniversary show. So again, both those people, both those competitors, it's going to be fantastic. And from Flip Gordon recently, he's been putting on amazing, incredible matches. And I'm so pleased that he's finally, after all this time, getting a main event shot on possibly the biggest show of the year, which is Supercard of Honor. And again, if you listen to some of our previous Ring of Honor recap reviews, you'll hear some of the recaps we've had of the shows and how positive we've been over Flip Gordon's work. So definitely one to check out in the future. So yeah, that does it for the news this week, through my rambling, but a ton of fun to do this show on my own. And it's gonna be interesting to see what's going to come out of all the news I've just pointed out. So the next thing, one of our regular articles, is going to be the Future of Honor, which this week will be a match I found which took place in the Hammerstein Ballroom between the wrestler J-Rock and Afa Jr. So once again, my trusty app will be going to the 5 minutes. So here we go. So yeah, so this match, it was very, very hard-hitting. A great crowd behind the two wrestlers. Any of you who may know of Afa Jr., he was actually once upon a time Manu in WWE, who was at that point part of the Legacy stable with Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes, who now is of AEW fame, and Ted DiBiase Jr. A lot of negative feedback towards him at that point, but he really has improved a lot, and this match shows, really harking back to the Samoan style with his lots of headbutts, lots of kicks. Really liked his ring attire with the ceremonial robe. He was barefooted as well, which I thought really added into it. Sort of harking back to Haku and the Tongans and his relations, Afa and Seeker of the Wild Samoans. So it was great to see him actually putting on a really good, surprising performance. And yeah, J-Rock as well. J-Rock's a guy who, they said on commentary, or Joe Dombrowski said on commentary, but he'd been a pro for over 19 years. This was my first exposure to him. Brilliant wrestler, really good. Really would fit in. I was watching him in NWA Power, the NWA at the moment, at this moment in time. Lots of taunting, lots of heel shenanigans, which are very much of the Southern style from back in the 80s. Great technical ability, big guy, big, very built like Dan Maff, but he was able to deliver some great hard-hitting strikes. They both had great chemistry, and it would be great to see, definitely see J-Rock over in the NWA. And if anyone from the NWA is listening to this podcast, definitely seek him out if you haven't already, because I feel he would be a great asset to the company. And Afa Jr. was, I think, would be a great asset to Ring of Honor as well. I mean, he, you know, brings a great amount of freshness to the company. That legacy of being part of the Samoan style of wrestling was a great thing to see. And yeah, just a really, really fun match. And again, Joe Dombrowski was great on commentary. The crowd were into this. It was a ton of fun. And this match, along with all the rest of the matches we spoke of Future of Honor and later the Women of Honor match I'll be reviewing, and the throwback will all be available on our YouTube channel as part of a playlist, a specialist playlist, so you can check them out there. And just with about 2 minutes left on the clock, I think I'll just add in that it was great to see the Hammerstein Ballroom again for Ring of Honor. I mean, I've been watching Ring of Honor for several years, as we know from listening, those of you who have listened to the show, and the Hammerstein Ballroom hasn't been used recently. But it's a great venue, and the fans were really into this, as I've just mentioned, so it was a great ton of fun to watch. So definitely check this one out. So that does the Future of Honor review this week. And then from there, I'm going to be doing the Ring of Honor throwback before I talk about the show, which will the Ring of Honor show this week, which will be for this week, Roderick Strong versus Homicide, which took place on the 9th anniversary show back in Chicago or Illinois. And once again, I will set my 5-minute timer from now. So Roderick Strong and Homicide was... This match took place in the Frontier Fieldhouse, a very historic venue for Ring of Honor, if any of you were long-time fans of the company. And Homicide was originally going to face Roderick Strong in a traditional wrestling match, but then he came out and ran in and said that he wanted it to be under street fight rules. And from there, this match suddenly was given a no disqualification gimmick onto it. So, yeah, it... was very different to a lot of Ring of Honor world title matches in that there was a lot of crowd crowd brawling, lots of interaction with steel chairs. Homicide gave Roderick Strong a brutal shot with a steel chair, to his back. And Roderick Strong gave Homicide a brutal looking slam into the steel ring into the steel barricades. And I mean, if you watch those early Ring of Honor shows, as this was quite early in Ring of Honor's history, the 9th anniversary show, those barriers even now look painful. And this look was, they were both going at it. I mean, both guys are stiff when they want to be, and both guys didn't, you know, give anyone an inch. There was great interaction between the two wrestlers. Steel chairs came into play. And one thing I did really like about this match was that it was just a few months after Roderick Strong had won his first and only Ring of Honor World Championship back at Glory by Honor 9 when he defeated Tyler Black, Glory by Honor 9 when he defeated Roderick Strong, he defeated Tyler Black at the Manhattan Center, who is now Seth Rollins in WWE, for any of you keeping score. And he was very much a heel champion. He changed his style considerably and became a lot more brash, a lot more cocky, a lot more disrespectful to the fans. And it really reflected in his character. And he was great at being that heel champion. He just fit it like a glove. And there are several instances in this match where he had various heel dynamics, such as when he grabbed a steel chair, but then he threw it to the ground and he wasn't going to use it in the match, which the crowd booed heavily. He also had Truth Martini in his corner. At this point, Roderick Strong was part of the House of Truth. So it was interesting to see that interplay as well with Truth Martini and Roderick Strong, who did get involved, Truth Martini, and also fellow House of Truth member, current Impact star Michael Elgin got involved as well briefly. So there was a lot of brutal shots. It wasn't the most brutal hardcore match in terms of blood or in terms of sort of hard barbed wire and things like that, but there's a lot of hard hitting strikes. There was a lot of stiff moves. There was a lot of sort of strong slams. Roderick did a lot of vicious backbreakers and really used, you just see how creative he was with the ring and how he used the ring so effectively to beat his opponents. And it was great as well. One of the other reasons I picked this match is because it was an anniversary show match, and as we have the anniversary shows coming up this weekend, I felt it was only apt that I not only found a match involving a throwback star who's coming back this week for past versus present, Homicide. I also wanted to choose a match which was one of the anniversary show matches from the history of Ring of Honor. And this is a match which took place during quite a quiet period in Ring of Honor's history during 2011. So I felt it was only fair to kind of shed a light on this match and for people to go and check it out. It's there for free on YouTube once again, as all the throwback Women of Honor and Future of Honor matches me and Oliver review are. And it will be uploaded onto our playlist later this week for people to enjoy. So with just under 25 seconds on the clock, Roderick Strong versus Homicide, a match everyone needs to go out and see, and a ton of fun. So there we go. That is the that's the throwback for this week, and I hope you're enjoying the show so far, Oliver. And I will admit also, for the first time, it's a heck of a lot more difficult doing this on your own than what it is with a second person. But we're 25 minutes in, and I think we're doing okay. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is the actual Ring of Honor show itself this week, which, it was again a look back at the Free Enterprise event. It was two matches from the show were focused on the show, the first of which was Alex Zane versus Andrew Everett. As we mentioned in our Free Enterprise review, which you can find in our SoundCloud, fantastic match, innovative, high-flying, dangerous, but very fresh and exciting, and both guys really deserve their spots in Ring of Honor. Some of the best stuff you'll see around anywhere. It was fantastic, so definitely check this match out if you haven't already from listening to myself and Oliver's review on it previously. Following that, there was a really fun little segment between the PJ Black and the Future of Honor star and Oliver's. I gave it away there, Oliver, and the fans. One of our favourite stars, Brian Johnson, the Mecha Brian Johnson, taking place in the Ring of Honor dojo. PJ Black is mentoring, or trying to mentor, Brian Johnson at the moment. And their relationship is very strained, to say the least, especially on the Brian Johnson side of things. But I thought this segment was brilliant because it really, again, showed the character work in both guys. And it really showed an interesting side to Brian Johnson, where he may actually be on the turn and actually listening to what PJ Black has to say. And I love the fact that Brian Johnson's so cocky, and the fact that he actually was given a white belt and he was absolutely over the moon with it. And just he's such a funny guy. He's so funny. He's absolutely brilliant. So a really fun little segment what took place between the tag team. Following on from this, we had Wrestling With Regret, Brian Zane, delivering a little video package of his top five matches he'd like to see in Ring of Honor in 2020. And in reverse order, as Brian Zane mentioned, the number five pick was the Bouncers versus Bandido and Flamita, a match I'd really like to see, and I'm sure a match Oliver would love to see. Number four was Maria Manic versus Session Moff Martina. Really different style of match, I expect, with that one. Two contrasting wrestlers there. Number three was a strange one, given that we've just had the Gateway to Honor and Bound by Honor shows where this match actually did take place, which was Dragon Lee versus Dak Draper. So, you know, you can listen to our review of that one. So that has taken place. So number two was Dan Math versus Bully Ray, a match I would love to see Dan Math destroy Bully Ray, but they're my own personal feelings and I have to be impartial as I'm the only host this week. But I'm sure it's another match Oliver would really, really like to see. And then the number one match which Brian Zane would like to see take place in 2020 is La Fashion of Roosh, Dragon Lee and Kenny King against the Righteous of Vincent, Tyler Bate, and Chuckles the Clown. A really great pick for number one. Really been behind both these factions in the recent outings they've had for the current shows. So I'm really excited to see if this match takes place at some point. So if it was up to me, though, if I had to choose a match I really would like to see, and I'm sure Oliver will pick his own, or if you want to pick your own, I will make a list available in the ROH Review Twitter feed. The match I'd really like to see out of these is the Bouncers versus Bandido and Flamita, and I'm sure that Oliver agrees with that one there. So following on from the Brian Zane countdown, we got a backstage segment between Josh Woods and Silas Young of Two Guys and One Tag. And this was very amusing and for some reason, Josh Woods felt it was suitable to buy Silas Young a new pair of jeans, skinny jeans to be in fact. And what was most hilarious is the fact that Silas Young couldn't even fit the jeans over his lower calves, let alone get them up to his thighs due to how skinny they were. Great interaction between these two guys, both inside and outside the ring. Great funny little segment. I'm really liking these segments because they're giving so much more character to the talent. Really enjoyed this. So again, you can check that out on the show. Following on from the little segment, we then had highlights of Jay Briscoe versus Mark Briscoe from Honor Invades Boston back in 2002. And this was interesting because I actually didn't expect this to be on the show, because normally it's just current current matches and current segments which are on the show. But leading into past versus present, it was really cool to see that the main event of the show, which will be Jay Briscoe versus Mark Briscoe, was getting a little bit of a highlight here between their match at Honor Invades Boston. It was Mark Briscoe's debut in Ring of Honor at the tender and young age of 17. And it was over in Wakefield, Massachusetts, because Mark couldn't wrestle in Philadelphia due to being too young. The highlights of this match don't do justice to this thing in full. Fantastic wrestling by both guys. All the matches both bros have had have been incredible. This was no different. This was very, very balls to the wall, very high-flying, fast, frenzied young guys who were hungry, who wanted to make the most out of the spot they got in Ring of Honor at that time. And yeah, this was great. And if you want to go back and watch this show, it's available on the Honor Club. So definitely check this out if you have the Honor Club before Past versus Present, which will be taking place on March the 14th in Las Vegas. And then we come to the main event of this week's show, which was the Mexa Blood team of Bandido and Flamita against the Briscoe brothers themselves, Jay and Mark Briscoe. And this match at the time, we reviewed it for the Free Enterprise review. Absolutely, oh, this is amazing. And then this match, again, watching it again, it was just incredible. Mexa Blood, the innovative tag team maneuvers, the speed, the charisma, the chemistry was on point. The Briscoes, just hard-hitting, violent, didn't miss a step, just absolutely phenomenal. This, for a TV, this is a great match for a live event crowd, for a pay-per-view crowd, and for a TV crowd. There's no way you couldn't not watch this match and enjoy it. It was absolutely unbelievable. And again, you can listen to myself and Oliver's thoughts on this match in our full Free Enterprise review, available on YouTube and on our SoundCloud. And a great way and a great main event to finish the show. So that was Ring of Honor for this week, the Ring of Honor wrestling show for this week. And next up, as per, I will be delivering our final segment of the week, as with every week, which will be Women of Honor, which this week is between Sumi Sakai and, at that time, the Stardom... bear with me 2 seconds. One of the Stardom champions, which was Chris Wolfe. I'm just finding out the actual name of the Stardom belt, because it has a slightly different name to the championship. It is the High Speed Championship of Stardom, which at that point in time was held by Chris Wolfe. And yeah, I will just once again start my 5-minute clock from now. This match, again, we picked, me and Oliver both were talking, and we picked Sumi Sakai due to the fact that she will be taking a match, will be taking place of her at the Past versus Present show, and I wanted to pick someone who I haven't actually seen before, and Chris Wolfe, when I was looking through the list, stood out the most. And yeah, she had kind of, her ring attire is interesting in the sense that it has kind of a wolf's tail at the back, and it had kind of an interesting sort of furry look to it. But it was a really, really competitive, fast, joshy female wrestling match. Crowd were highly behind Sumi Sakai. Crowd were really behind Chris Wolf. Really like the fact as well that this involved a Stardom Championship. I think it was refreshing as well to see that a female company were being had a relationship with Ring of Honor as well as just New Japan and a lot of the Japanese promotions, which are predominantly male. It's great to see that they had have relationships with the female promotions as well, and those relationships are still, I believe they're still there, but they're just not as prominent as what they once were. But yeah, so Sumi Sakai and Chris Wolf, they were tore the house down. They followed the code of honor beforehand as well, which was great to see. And it was great as well to hear, it was refreshing to hear not only Enrico Bagni on commentary, but also Ring of Honor CEO Joe Koff on commentary. And I think he's a really, really great commentator. I mean, he's rarely on Ring of Honor television and rarely on the product due to personal choice, but I feel that he really gave a great commentary performance here. And it would be great to see him definitely commentate more going forward, especially some of the bigger matches like the World Championship matches or some of the title matches or the Fight Without Honours, or you know, it'd be, or even maybe Future of Honour, to talk about some of the stars coming up through the company. So it was really, really refreshing that as well. So as an all-around match and an all-around presentation, I feel this really delivered in spades. And it's definitely a match which people should check out, because once again, it's available for free on YouTube. It will be listed on the YouTube playlists on our Ring of Honor review profile after this review. So definitely go and check it out. And just with 2 minutes on the clock, I think that's all I can say on that. So we now come to the final part of the show. If you've not already tuned out already due to my incoherent blabbering and blubbering, so thank you for staying with me if you are still there. And I just want to finish off with our regular segment of our links and plugs. So the Ring of Honor review has a relationship with the Broken But Glorious podcast, who you can find on Twitter at BBGpod, and you can also find their website at brokenbutglorious.com. We also have a relationship with PowerSlam TV. We have they've got over 6,500 hours of professional wrestling content from over 140 promotions. And as being part of the Broken But Glorious podcast, you can use the service on us for free for a month using the code BROKENFREE. So, to finish off, we have, as a part of the Ring of Honor review, we have a Twitter feed, which is at ROH Review. We have a Facebook page, which is a Ring of Honor ROH Review 2019, as that was the year when the ROH Review started. We have an Instagram account, which is at ROH Review. And we also have an Outlook profile, which you can message us any feedback, any comments, any suggestions, any negative feedback for myself doing this show for the first time and trying not to make a mess of it. Hate mail can come there, which is rohreview@outlook.com. So I think if I'm right and I've not missed anything off, or if anyone has seen if I've missed anything off, you're quite welcome to let me know. That will do it for this week's Ring of Honor review. Just to let you know what will be coming up, we will have our mine and Oliver's previews of the 18th anniversary show taking place this weekend, along with Past versus Present taking place this weekend, later this week, both in audio and video form. Excuse me. We also have just recently, or Oliver has just recently uploaded an interview with one of the participants of the Past versus Present show, and one of his favourite wrestlers, as we've heard several times on the show, Hurricane John Walters. That's up on our SoundCloud right now, so definitely come and check that out. You can also listen to the rest of our archive on SoundCloud. And yeah, I think, from what I know of, that is everything for this week. The last thing I've just remembered I needed to mention is that we also have our YouTube, but due to it not having a direct URL, it is normally when we do the videos, you can see my hands twiddling away, typing in the strange selection of digits and code, but we don't have access to the video this week, so I've mimed it across the airwaves for you all to listen to and to see. So, yeah, that does it for this week's Ring of Honor review. Thank you. Finally, thank you for all of your support. We love it. Myself and Oliver are so grateful for every retweet, every comment, every like, every share, every listen, every wrestler, every fan, everyone who's mentioning us everywhere. It humbles us so much to know that something which started off as two guys talking about an idea has grown into this great project which, you know, we've got going on. And we just want to say thank you to everyone. And finally, just because I meant to mention this as well, if you want to watch Ring of Honor, due to it not being available on UK TV screens anymore, you can find Ring of Honor on the Ring of Honor website at www.rohwrestling.com. On Fight TV, if you search for Ring of Honor on Fight TV, Fight spelled F-I-T-E. And you can also find Ring of Honor TV on the Honor Club via the ROH app. So, yeah, so finally, thank you again, everyone. We're loving what we're doing together, and we're loving bringing you this great show each week. And we'll definitely catch up with everyone and yourself, Oliver, for past versus present and for the 18th anniversary show. So until the next time, I'm pro wrestling journalist and co-host Stephen Jackson, and I'll see you again next time. Bye, everyone.